First, the Wisconsin Department of Health Services says the number of confirmed COVID-19 cases in the state has now topped 3,000. More than 125 people have died. The agency says it might be 3 to 6 weeks before the virus peaks in Wisconsin and praised residents for their efforts to flatten the curve. Governor Evers' Safer at Home order is set to go through April 24th, but DHS Secretary Andrea Palm has said this week's election may create a need for a longer stay at home. Just before the election, mayors of nine cities urged Palm to take emergency action to prevent in-person voting, but the election did go on as scheduled. Secretary Andrea Palm joins us now. Secretary Palm, thanks for taking time with us today.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
Overall, how are we doing in Wisconsin on our efforts to slow this thing down?
So I think we are feeling optimistic about the efforts that we are all taking together to flatten the curve. Our data over the past week or so has showed our cases are not doubling as quickly as they were in the early part of March. And I think that really is a sign that Safer at Home is flattening the curve, is bending the curve, is going to help us get to a place where we're not going to overwhelm the healthcare system, and we can start to really actively manage the outbreak with the other tools that we are building up in the meantime.
Back on March 24th, when Safer at Home was rolled out, you said if we continue on our current path without implementing Safer at Home to flatten the curve, the models will show they'll likely have 22,000 Wisconsinites test positive for COVID-19 by April 8th, an estimated 440 to 1,500 deaths. Now, some people are looking back at the number and saying, well, wait, the numbers are far lower than that. We're overreacting. What do you say to that reaction to the actual numbers?
Yeah, so I think a couple things. One, I think the model projected 22,000 infections, which is different from positive cases, right? We've been constrained in our ability to test, and so we have not been testing everybody who is a probable COVID-19 case. And so there's a difference between the number of positive cases and how that reflects the actual number of infections in the state of Wisconsin. But right, our goal was to use Safer at Home to prevent that from ever happening. That's what these worst case scenario models are teaching us, are telling us, are helping us understand the kinds of interventions we need to take so that those horrible scenarios don't come true. And so, again, I think what we've started to see in our data is that we are flattening the curve, and that's really good news for the state of Wisconsin.
A big question all along, Secretary Palm, has been testing capacity, and it sounds like from announcements today we've hit a milestone when it comes to who we can test, how many tests are available. What's the latest there?
Yeah, we have been working really hard with our lab partners across the state over the last few weeks to expand capacity, right? We've had supply chain problems. We've had ability to come online with new tests, slow to get going because CDC was delayed in delivering tests to states across the country. And so we do think it's a really important moment for us as we have gotten to a place where we've got 20 labs online, where we have this capacity that well over 3,700 daily test capacity as of today, and we're going to continue to expand that. It is really important. It's an important part of our longer-term strategy for how we manage this pandemic. Testing and being able to test more folks, being able to be strategic and targeted about our testing where we have small outbreaks to help prevent them from becoming larger are really important tools for us to continue to build up as we get to a point where we want to do more surgical interventions to help us manage this pandemic until we've got a vaccine or a medical treatment that's effective against the virus.
We're talking to State Department of Health Services Secretary Andrea Palm about the state's reaction to the COVID-19 outbreak. Secretary Palm, our news team has noticed that in DHS data online, there are some multiple instances of correcting down in reporting. For example, yesterday there were 25 confirmed cases in Columbia County. Today it says 24. What might account? Is that an error in the initial data or reattributing it to another county? What might account for that kind of change?
Well, I think both of those are feasible scenarios. I think we are very conscious and very conscientious about making sure that our data is accurate because we are, the source of truth about the state of the epidemic in the state of Wisconsin. And so we're very careful about making sure we reconcile all the information we're getting from local public health departments and double-checking and cross-checking to make sure that it's accurate. And so if we find that we didn't get it right on the front end, we do want to correct it because it's important that we are accurate and that we make sure folks have the right and accurate information coming off our website.
You and others I know are concerned about the potential impact of in-person voting earlier this week. What are you watching for? What are you going to do to see if there's an uptick based on that over the next, I guess, week or so?
Mm-hmm. So, you know, in-person voting or any equivalent mass gathering, right? That's essentially what it potentially was. And so we would do the same related to that as we will to the potential exposures that people might have had from standing in line or going to vote in person. And those are related to our contact tracing assets and the way we do this basic public health work around any communicable disease, around any outbreak. And that is when we have a positive case, there's an interview with that person. Where have you been? Who have you been in close contact with? To really ascertain who else needs to be notified, who else needs to be contacted, what additional interviews need to be done, what guidance needs to be given to those people about do they need to go into isolation or quarantine, do they need to monitor their symptoms, et cetera. And that is very nuts and bolts public health work that is done, as I said, in all communicable disease outbreaks. And so whether it's in-person voting or another mass gathering, we will discover in the course of those interviews the places they have been and the ways they might have exposed other people. And so that information will come to us through the course of those interviews and through our contact tracing. And we will certainly use that information to find other people who may have been exposed and do the things that are necessary to limit the spread of the disease any further.
Now, only a few of the state's most populated counties have more than 100 confirmed cases, Milwaukee, Dane, Waukesha, and Kenosha. Some people in counties where they're only seeing, you know, 1 to 5 cases are asking, hey, why are you shutting us down too? What would you say to people in counties where this, at least yet so far, isn't a big deal, apparently?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's a couple of things. One, I think one thing we have learned about this disease since it came into the world, you know, and on our radar 4 months ago, is that it's highly contagious. And there's been some scientific studies published very recently that suggest for every one person infected, they transmit it to about 5.5 additional individuals. And so it's very transmissible. It's very contagious. And so, right, one of the things that that is important about Safer at Home is it's protecting those places that have small numbers of cases, right? We love our lake homes here in Wisconsin. We want to be out and about across this state, and we can carry this infection with us with very mild symptoms or no symptoms at all and bring it to communities that currently don't have a lot of cases. And the other thing I would say about this that from my perspective is equally or more important is the capacity of the healthcare system in less populated areas. They don't have the same number of ICU beds. They don't have the same access to the kind of critical care capacity, infrastructure that some of the larger populated areas do. And so if we had an outbreak in one of those communities, we worry about their ability to withstand that kind of surge. And so Safer at Home as a statewide order allows us, it gives us some time to build up that capacity to make sure at a regional level, at a local level, those hospitals, those systems, those communities are prepared in case they do get more than 1 or 2 cases. And that's part of what flattening the curve and Safer at Home is all about, is to give us some time to make sure our infrastructure is prepared to handle what could come.
briefly as we wrap up. You know, now we have Safer at Home. At some point, hopefully in the not too distant future, there might be a vaccine or treatments and we can get back to normal-ish. Are you working on plans for an intermediate zone? Assuming we can't do Safer at Home for, you know, a full year, what kind of things are you looking at for that interim period?
Yeah, so right to your point, without a vaccine or effective medical intervention, our tools are testing, contact tracing, and very active management to continue to protect the healthcare system and our healthcare workforce and to prevent as many people from dying as possible. And so while we are very focused on building up that infrastructure, on doing that preparation, right, it is all of our goals to get back to a place where we are living more of our normal lives, being able to do more of the things that we would do in the daily course of our lives. And so, right, when we came into Safer at Home, there were a number of steps we took before we got there. So there are, you know, there are different ways to set the dials and to figure out how to be able to continue to move through life in a less restricted and more surgical way. But we've got to let the data tell us where we are in the epidemic, what things we need to be worried about, how to deploy our assets. Are those assets built up enough to do that in an effective way? And so we will continue to watch our data. We will continue to look at the models, and we will base these decisions on the science and the real-time information that we have coming in every day. But obviously, we're as anxious as everybody to get to a place where we can return to more normal life. But again, to your point, until we've got a vaccine or effective medical treatment, we are going to continue to have to live very actively managing this virus.
Secretary Palm, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you.
Andrea Palm is the Secretary of Wisconsin's Department of Health Services. We talked to her about the latest efforts to fight COVID-19 in the state.